Well, we began Mass today by me asking our parents who are these children that they have brought forward to be baptized this evening. I didn't get a chance to explain who I am. So let me take this moment to introduce myself. I'm Father Stephen Reeves. I was just ordained as a priest this past May, and I'm currently the associate pastor at St. Patrick and St. Boniface, which some of you may know is the position that was formerly filled by Father Adam. So he's not able to be here tonight, and so he asked me to come and fill in. So it's kind of wonderful for us to kind of do a little bit of a switcheroo for tonight. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm especially happy to be here as we celebrate the baptism of Lucy and Henry. This is a great day for Ascension Parish as you welcome these two new members, our soon-to-be new brother and sister in Christ. As I was thinking about our gospel for today, earlier this week, as I mentioned, I'm over at St. Patrick, and we had a prayer service on, I think it was Tuesday, for the kindergarten and first grade classes over there who don't always come to the weekly school mass. But that day they had a special prayer service that was just for the kindergarten and the first graders, and part of it's kind of just sort of, it basically was kind of a liturgy of the word service. So we had, you know, an opening prayer and scriptures and intercessions, and it's kind of helping them kind of, you know, get used to kind of the flow of being at Mass. But the theme of it was the harvest, and, you know, because we're into the fall season and it's finally started to feel like fall. Thank goodness. And so giving thanks for the harvest, for the crops, and all those kinds of things. And the gospel reading that we had for this prayer service was the same gospel that we just heard about Jesus healing the 10 lepers. And I started off by asking them if anyone knew what a leper was. And I got several people raised their hands, and I called on one boy, and he said, "It's a big cat with spots, and it runs really fast." So that was our first lesson, was that Jesus healed 10 lepers, not 10 leopards. There were not 10 big cats that came up to Jesus today. Lepers, not leopards. So that's our first lesson. The second lesson is probably going to be review for you if you are familiar with the scriptures, if you've grown up coming to church. But I know that may not be everyone here, and I think it's always good for us just to be reminded of these things. So very briefly, just to refresh us, our memories, that leprosy in the Bible, it was used to refer to kind of any number of, you know, contagious skin diseases. And if you look in the Old Testament law, there are many different provisions that discuss how to prevent this disease from spreading at a time that was obviously long before we had vaccines and antibiotics. And so anyone found with leprosy was forced to immediately leave the town and had to live apart with the other lepers. And so to be a leper in the Bible is not just to be someone who's sick. It's not just to be someone whose appearance is disfigured by sores and scabs. It's to be an outsider. It's to be an other. It's to be someone that everyone else avoids and has nothing to do with. So it was to be cut off from your family, from your community, from your livelihood. It was to be an exile and an outcast. If the person did recover from leprosy, then they would go back into town to the temple and present themselves to the priest, and the priest would look at them and judge whether or not they had been healed and whether or not it was safe for them to return to their home, return to normal life. So what I find interesting about this healing where Jesus heals the lepers is the order of events. So first, the lepers call to Jesus, ask him to have pity on them. Jesus sees them. All he says is, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Then Luke tells us, as they were going, they were cleansed. So you see, they weren't healed until they had already started going to the priest. So when they took those first steps away from Jesus, their skin was still covered with scabs and sores of their disease. They had to believe that they would be healed before they actually were healed. If they had waited to see proof of their healing before they turned to go into town to the priests, they would still be waiting there today. And so when the one out of the ten, the one who's a Samaritan, and so even more of a social outcast than the rest, when that one returns to say thank you, Jesus' reply is, "Your faith has saved you." See, we are saved by faith. The faith which we heard St. Paul say is in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. We're saved when we trust our lives, our futures, our fortunes to God rather than to ourselves. That's really what it means to be saved. It means it's letting ourselves be pulled out of the hole that we've fallen into rather than trying to climb out ourselves. It's putting ourselves into the hands of the doctor who can heal us rather than trying to medicate ourselves. We have to trust that, again, using those metaphors, we have to trust that that rope that Jesus throws down to us is going to be strong enough to hold us, that the medicine that he gives us will work, even if it doesn't always taste good. We have another example of this from our Old Testament reading, which we only get a few verses from towards the end of this story of Naaman, who, like the Samaritan leper, was a foreigner and also was afflicted with leprosy, and who was healed by the prophet Elisha, and also, as we heard in our reading, returns to give thanks. See, Naaman was healed when he bathed in the Jordan River according to the prophet Elisha's command. But at first, when he first hears the instructions from Elisha to go bathe 7 times in the Jordan, he's reluctant at first, and he points out truly that there are much bigger, much cleaner, much nicer rivers back where he's from, back in Syria. But eventually he too is persuaded to trust the prophet's words. And so he too is saved by faith, by trusting that God will act if he follows the prophet's instructions, even if they don't make sense to him at the time. And of course, this image that we have of Naaman being cleansed by washing in the water of the Jordan is a beautiful image, a foreshadowing of the sacrament of baptism, which we're about to celebrate in a few minutes, the water of baptism that washes us clean of sin and makes us part of God's holy people. This weekend, the church also gives us another image of someone who was saved by faith, someone who trusted that following God would lead him safely home, even though he couldn't see exactly all the twists and turns that that road would take. Because tomorrow, in Rome, Pope Francis will canonize John Henry Newman. I don't know how much you all know about John Henry Newman, but he began his career as an Anglican priest in England in the 1800s. But he was very popular. He was very successful as a preacher and as a scholar and as a teacher at Oxford. But he was led through prayer and study to come into the full communion of the Catholic Church. And he would go on to be ordained as a Catholic priest. Eventually, near the end of his life, would be named a cardinal. And from tomorrow onwards, will be known as Saint John Henry Newman. For myself, I also came into the Catholic Church as a young adult by way of Protestantism. I grew up in the Southern Baptist tradition. And so for me, Newman is something of an example and a role model of someone who was willing to follow the truth wherever it had led him, no matter the cost. His conversion came at a time when anti-Catholicism was still very strong in England. And his conversion, it cost him his career, it cost him his social standing, it cost him his reputation, many of his friendships. And for many years afterwards, he was regarded as a traitor by his former Anglican colleagues, and was also unfortunately viewed with distrust and suspicion by his new Catholic brethren. But also as a brilliant scholar and thinker, he was one of the figures for me that showed me that Catholicism can stand up to the most rigorous philosophical and theological scrutiny, and that professing our faith does not require us to check our brain at the door. St. John Henry Newman, well, to be St. John Henry Newman, wrote, "To be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant." And that is something that I have found to be true as well. But St. John Henry Newman is not being declared a saint because he was a convert or because he was smart. He's being declared a saint. The church is recognizing that he's a saint, that he has been saved because of his faith in Jesus. And in that faith, the church tomorrow will solemnly declare that, again, as we heard from St. Paul, that John Henry Newman has obtained the salvation that is in Christ Jesus together with eternal glory. It was that faith, that trusting reliance that came from his deep personal friendship with Jesus that allowed him to follow a long, difficult, unexpected road, but one which has led him safely to his home in heaven. And that is the same faith that will save each one of us. And so I ask that let's conclude this time by making our own Newman's prayer of faith, which he expressed in the words of the hymn, "Lead Kindly Light." Listen to these words that he wrote. "Lead kindly light amidst the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home, lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet, I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I love to choose and see my path, but now lead thou me on. I loved the garish day, and spite of fears, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power hath blessed me, sure it still will lead me on, o'er moor and fen, o'er crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn those angel faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while. Meantime, along the narrow rugged path thyself hast trod, lead, Savior, lead me home in childlike faith, home to my God, to rest forever after earthly strife in the calm light of everlasting life." So I'm jumping the gun by a day, but I hope you'll forgive me if I end by saying, St. John Henry Newman, pray for us.